The only way to properly describe what we saw in the indictment is nothing burger. So why shouldn't we say it like that? Actually, it's not an expression that I usually use or utilize. It's just not the way that I talk. I find the whole expression, nothing burger, is just a weird expression. But man, everybody's using it. What was it Van Jones said on CNN? If this is just a pebble that's going to lead to larger things, well, this is a very, very, very small pebble indeed. And that's exactly what it is. It's small, small stuff. As a matter of fact, there's a larger question to be brought to us. Why in the world would Alvin Bragg bring this indictment when there is so little to it? I mean, nothing to it. It's not because I say so. It's because the experts say so. It's because the pros say so. And they say so because, well, there's nothing here. And hate rots the brain. And hate's the only reason, outside of the last name Trump, that this indictment came forward. 34 charges. Guys, welcome to the show, presented by Americans for Prosperity, AmericansForProsperity.org, economic liberty, free speech. I was on the air when the indictment was happening. Many of you were with me and engaged live as we were live streaming, and then watched Trump's speech that night and engaged the reaction that took place from, well, all the corners. And I wanted to break down that for you. Tony Katz, good to be with you here in Indianapolis at 74 degrees. We're going to go right into it, everybody. I want to bring in William Jacobson, Cornell Law Professor, the mind behind LegalInsurrection.com, as we are discussing this indictment that took place, this nothing burger, which your site, LegalInsurrection.com, William Jacobson, that's how you guys are describing it. I talked about Van Jones calling it a pebble. This is just a pebble. It's supposed to be a bigger cavalcade of things. Well, it's not there, and it absolutely positively is not there. 34 counts, 34 felony counts, William Jacobson, Cornell Law Professor. When you read the indictment, what was your take?
Well, it was waiting for the bombshell. Okay, it was waiting for the thing we didn't know about. It was waiting for some surprise that never showed up. I think I had predicted on your show earlier when we spoke about this that the 34 counts were probably one or two or three checks that they're going to take every entry in a computer or ledger or wherever and turn it up into 34 counts. And that's what it appears to be. I think my count might be slightly off, but I think there were 11 checks mentioned in the indictment, 11 ledger entries, 11 invoices. I'm not sure what the 34th was. Got to go back over that. But this is basically a very small number of payments that every time there was an entry someplace, they are calling that a separate crime. So it's for show. They could have done it all in one count. They didn't need to do it this way. And of course, we don't know the key thing here. What is the mysterious other law he was trying to violate?
I want to get into that with you. I'm going to jump right in. You talk about the 34 and the process. Legally, it's referred to as stacking. When you don't have a lot, you make one thing look like a lot of things. So you stack them one on top of the other. So if you have 11 checks and you have 7 journal entries and 4 of this and 2 of those, it's like Rodney Dangerfield and Caddyshack. Give me 2 of those, give me 6 of those, give me a couple of naked lady tees. That's the stacking. So that's the process that Alvin Bragg, the district attorney in Manhattan, used in this case. But what you're bringing up is this idea that what Trump did in paying Stormy Daniels the way he did was that this was an intent to engage a fraud, and it does engage another crime, but he doesn't mention what the crime is. And as a matter of fact, in the press conference that the DA Alvin Bragg had, he states that he doesn't have to mention what the other crime is. How does that pass your sniff test?
It doesn't pass it in any case, but it certainly doesn't pass it in what legally is a groundbreaking case of bringing an indictment against a former president and leading political opponent. The president of, I forget if it was Guatemala or Honduras, put out a tweet about that if this happened in any other country where a major political opponent was arrested on flimsy charges based on a far-fetched legal theory with little disclosure, we would laugh at that. We would not call that democracy. And that's what's happened here. It may be that Trump did everything Alvin Bragg said, that there were false checks, but it would never be prosecuted against anybody else. And it was only prosecuted because Donald Trump's running for president. I don't think there's a person on the face of this earth who thinks that this case would have been brought if 3 months ago or 4 months ago, Donald Trump had announced, I am not running for president again. So that's what this is about. This has all the appearances of a political prosecution. And you're right. There are a lot of commenters from the left who recognize this is really weak stuff. There's a guy at Vox who is, you know, usually brutal towards people like Trump. And even he said, you know, this is not the sort of legal theory that you bring the first time a former president is going to be indicted, that this thing, whole thing could collapse. There are numerous legal infirmities with it, legal unquestioned, you know, or unresolved legal questions. And this is not what you do to a former president and political opponent.
Talking to William Jacobson, Cornell Law Professor, the mind behind LegalInsurrection.com. You should go check that out. I noted earlier on the morning radio show that even National Review, which is not a fan of Trump, is looking at this indictment and saying, you know, to quote Peter Griffin in Family Guy, come on, what is this? What is this part? Of course, you mentioned the fact that if it wasn't Trump, if his last name wasn't Trump, this wouldn't be going forward. But now this goes in front of a judge. Now, the judge that we're discussing here, who Trump actually went after a little bit in his speech, which I was kind of amazed by. The argument is you're the defendant. You can go after anybody you want. It's a free country. You can say anything you want about anybody. That doesn't mean that you necessarily should. And I was curious to get your thoughts on how Trump's defense team may have felt about that line regarding the judge in this case. But a judge looking at this case knows what you know. So how do they look at this case and allow it to go forward?
Well, there's a great deal of deference given to the prosecutors to present their case the way they want to. So a judge is only going to throw this out is if there's some legal problem with it. And many people have pointed out there are many potential legal problems with it, including it's a novel theory that a county prosecutor, this isn't even a state attorney general, that a county prosecutor can upgrade a misdemeanor to a felony based on an alleged intent to violate a federal law when the person has not been charged with actually violating the federal law. So this is like a hypothetical. If Donald Trump intended to violate a federal law, can we upgrade this from misdemeanor to felony? So this is like a law school exam, except it's not law school, it's real life. And it's a gross interference in our political process. It's a gross manipulation of the Republican primaries. I think that, you know, the obvious thing is it's an attempt to get Trump. I mean, that's clear. Right. But it's also a manipulation because, as I think was pointed out, or on Tucker Carlson last night, he didn't necessarily endorse it, but he pointed out that one of the theories here is that the Democrats, this is their master manipulation, that they are not only going to raise Trump to martyr status so that he gets the Republican nomination, they're also going to dirty him up in the court case so that he can't get elected president in the general election. Because people have to remember that a lot of the reaction coming from Republicans is to rally around Trump. That's not necessarily the reaction in the rest of the country. That's not necessarily the reaction, you know, with the so-called suburban women who, you know, sunk the campaign for Trump last time. So this is really,
yeah, but appears
to be a master manipulation by Democrats.
You know, the politics of this is there's a tremendous number of ways that this can go. Some people look at this and says this will poison independence against Trump because look at what a criminal he is. Look at how terrible he is. The other side of that is Independents already know that the man's got character flaws. This looks like, feels like, and smacks of a witch hunt. I want to share with you something that Alvin Bragg, the district attorney, said. Listen to this.
The New York Supreme Court indictment returned by a Manhattan grand jury on 34 felony counts of falsifying business records in the first degree. Under New York state law, it is a felony to falsify business records with intent to defraud and an intent to conceal another crime. That is exactly what this case is about. 34 false statements made to cover up other crimes. These are felony crimes in New York state, no matter who you are. We cannot and will not normalize serious criminal conduct.
We cannot and will not normalize serious criminal conduct. William Jacobson, Cornell law professor. Isn't this exactly what Alvin Bragg does in New York all the time when he looks the other way and doesn't prosecute here and doesn't go after this criminal? He's normalizing criminal behavior left and right. Trump's different. How does it not smack to a judge, never mind everybody else, as a purely political attack?
Yeah, I don't think a judge is going to care that it's political. It's either a legitimate indictment, it's either legitimate criminal charges, or it's not. I don't think the judge is going to care about the politics. We don't know this judge. Maybe he likes those politics. It doesn't matter. We hope he'll reach a neutral legal decision as to whether this is viable. But Alvin Bragg is a joke. I mean, that press conference, it was a complete joke. There's right after the clips you played, he talks about how important business records are in New York because it's a financial capital of the world. Who are you kidding? You allow street criminals to run wild in the streets. You decriminalized a whole host of crimes, some of them violent crimes, your first day in office. This is a sick joke for Alvin Bragg to stand up there and claim that business records are so important and so vital to our democracy and so vital to our criminal, into our financial system, that he must prosecute this, that nobody believes that. I don't think Alvin Bragg believes that. The only reason he made those statements is because he's a laughingstock. He is somebody who is going to go down, I predict, if these charges get dismissed, like Mike Nifong did in the Duke lacrosse case.
Wow, nice call.
Okay, for a malicious prosecution of those students. Alvin Bragg has now got to justify what Alvin Bragg has done. And that's what that press conference was about.
The Mike Nifong poll is that's a really interesting comparison. The Duke lacrosse rape case. I first started doing radio covering that. That's an incredibly interesting comparison piece right there. Do me a favor, William Jacobson, stay right there. I want to talk to you just a little bit more. Let me on the radio side. Matt Baer has got the traffic. What's up, Matthew? William, that was the closest I've seen you almost get to cursing on my show. Like in the concept of anger, you talk to other legal professionals, you speak to people who are on the political left who are legal professionals, you work with people who are on the political left who are legal professionals, you speak to law students, you're training that future. Are you telling me that people aren't outraged by what they're seeing? Not only is it a fraud, based on what we've seen in the indictment, they know it. They know it's political as you describe it. Do you ever see anybody saying, holy damn, this is screwed up?
No, I don't, because things have become so politicized. I think they know it. Some commentators, and I just pointed out somebody at Vox has done that, and elsewhere in the left-leaning press have recognized that this is really on shaky ground, and this is not what they wanted to charge Trump with, okay? They wanted something bigger. They wanted something solid. But there is such hatred of Trump out there. Trump derangement syndrome is a real thing. It's not just a saying. And so there's so much hatred of him out there. I think there will be a lot of people who really couldn't care less. They just want him to go down. And that's unfortunate. So I that's why I'm saying we don't know. We're in a little bit of a bubble. I'm in a bubble at my website. Your readership is your viewership and your listeners are probably leaning towards the right. We don't know how the rest of the country is going to react. This is not the most important thing probably to the rest of the country.
No, not at all. Not at all. We've got storms coming to the Midwest. I made this point as I was doing some video and TV work last night. But when we live in a world that has such little trust in the institutions, you can't trust the FBI. The IRS went after the Tea Party. You look at how the DOJ treats parents, and you cover that at legalinsurrection.com over and over and over again. Does there begin to be a worry that people like Alvin Bragg are going to hurt the profession in a way that there's a total lack of faith in the profession? Or do they feel we're lawyers, we're totally insulated, we can do whatever we want, impunity, and if what's worst comes to worst, I'll end up getting a job in some other way because the progressives will take care of me?
Well, you know, I think this is the sort of thing that tears at the fabric of the country. Okay, if you're going to charge a major political figure during the early stages of the primary season with a crime, you better have really solid ground, and it better be a serious crime, not a bookkeeping crime that's 7 years old. So I think this really does tear at the fabric. It feeds into the distrust of institutions. I've written a lot about institutional capture and how almost every major institution, with the exception of the Supreme Court, has been captured by the left. And of course, now that the Supreme Court is not captured by the left, they want to delegitimize it. So they're attacking the Supreme Court. And there is a real concern in this country that people completely lose faith, and it leads to a fracturing of the country. We're not going to fracture along, you know, geographic lines. We're too integrated as a country. But, the so-called national divorce, I think a lot of people are tuning out and checking out and creating alternative systems. You're on Rumble now. Why are you on Rumble? Rumble was created because YouTube was being abusive towards conservatives. Okay, so YouTube was shutting people down. YouTube was captured, part of Google. It's captured. So, people are finding we're fracturing, not necessarily geographically as a country, but socially as a country into our own little silos and our own pockets. And that's not healthy.
I make the argument without question that certainly this indictment doesn't happen if his last name isn't Trump, but that actually isn't the horror part of this. The horror part of this is that Alvin Bragg went forward with it, that there's this total ripping apart. As you talk about the fabric here, there is a there's a willingness to say, you know what, the ends justify the means. You know what, Beria was right. Show me the man and I'll show you the crime. You know what, we are righteous in our cause, and that allows us to act in unrighteous ways because it's for the good of you. That's a hard road to come back from. We'll talk about it another time. William Jacobson, Cornell Law Professor. Action.com. You should do so immediately, sir. I appreciate you very, very much. And don't forget to find us on Rumble, rumble.com/TonyKatz. And of course, everything is at locals. TonyKatz.locals.com. See that? It's a fancy little thing I made there. Hey, I got to work on that. I got to work on all the graphics. Guys, I appreciate you so very much. Don't forget to subscribe.